Well, as I was saying, you can see that Pastor Mark has an insert in the bulletin about his message this morning, which was about the first Sunday in Advent. And I have to admit, as we've gone through the service this morning, everyone has done a fabulous job on staying on message of that this is the first Sunday in Advent and really pointing toward Christ. And as everyone was doing their part, I'm just being honest here, I couldn't help but feeling a little guilty and thinking, boy, am I going to drop the ball. Because the reality is, I just didn't feel led to talk about that this morning. But as I felt guilty about that and the service kept going, all of a sudden I started getting encouraged, because the more things that said, the more we were singing, all of a sudden I realized that, well, you know what? Maybe what I was led to say this morning does tie in with looking forward to Christ. And it does. So I hope you're able to see that, not by my efforts, oh, believe, I'm confessing here, not by my efforts this morning, but through Christ, I believe, we are going to be pointed towards Christ. And to get started, I'd just like you to raise your hand. How many of you in here are news, like following the news? Some of you not. Looks like most people try to stay up on the news. Well, if you're accustomed to listening to the news, you know, watching TV news, listening to it on the radio, maybe reading the newspaper, you all are aware of what happened this week in India. You know, and for those of you who aren't aware of this, this week in India, there was a horrible terrorist attack in the city Mumbai. Now, Mumbai is the financial capital of India, very similar to what New York City would be for us here in the United States. Okay? And because of those similarities and the horrendousness of these terrorist attacks, I've heard some people say that this is India's 9/11. Okay? And what happened, for those of you who don't know, I believe it was on Wednesday, the day doesn't really matter, but in the middle of this week, there were a group of terrorists who went to several locations in Mumbai. And they went into these crowded places with machine guns and hand grenades, and they just started killing people. There's no other way to put it. They just started killing people. And then they ended up in two huge hotels. And they went into these hotels and literally went in shooting and killing people. And then when authorities and, you know, the police and people started coming, they took hostages. And it was just a terrible situation. And I wasn't following it closely, but when I came home Friday night, Pastor Mark gave me a call on Friday saying he wasn't doing well, asking me if I could fill in for him. So I came home Friday night. This is on my mind. Lord, what am I, you know, praying? What am I going to preach about? And I got home Friday night, turned on the TV, was watching the news, and this whole ordeal in India was still going on. They had pictures of this one just magnificent hotel. It was the Taj Hotel. I mean, just an amazing structure. The architecture is just brilliant. But there was smoke rolling out of this hotel. There was fire. You could see fire blazing out of the windows of this hotel. And as I was sitting there thinking about this, and they were saying that the commandos were going through this hotel trying to ferret out these terrorists, I couldn't help but think, wow, that's a little scary. And the reason I thought that is because how could you possibly stop something like this? I mean, stop and think about it. Let's put it here in the United States. How could you possibly, buck season is tomorrow, okay? How could you possibly stop a group of men from going to the capital city mall? I'm just using this for an example. Going to the capital city mall this afternoon with their deer rifles. And at a set time, all of them would go in a different entrance to that mall and begin shooting anybody they saw. How could you stop that? I mean, it would be so difficult. And so, you know, that's a little bit of a scary thing as I thought of that. And as I thought about that, I just started praising God. And I thank God that because of His provision, You know, we really don't have to worry about that, or at least up to our, so far in our history, we have had not to worry about that. Even though it could possibly happen, it's probably not something Dave shared this morning in his devotions about worry. It's probably not something we have to worry about. And I just thank God about that. But as I sat there watching what was happening in India, thinking about how possible it could happen here, praying as I was watching this, God, what do you want me to preach about this morning? God led me, I believe, to preach on what I'm going to talk about this morning. And I'll share it with you soon. But as we go to prayer this morning, before the heart of the message, let's just thank God for the provisions He has given to us. And just cry out to Him this morning that He would speak to each of us and He would touch each of our hearts this morning. But let's go to prayer. Father God, we come to You now. And Lord, even though the request has already been lifted up for Your blessing upon this service, Father, I specifically pray that You reach down right now and, Lord, touch each of our hearts. Lord, I pray that You will use Your Word this morning to enlighten us. Lord, to draw us closer to Yourself. Lord, to point us to this Advent season, to point us to Jesus. Father, have Your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as I sat and watched those pictures of that hotel burning, thinking about what all that was going on, this thought popped into my mind. And this is what God, I believe and prayerfully hope, wanted me to speak about this morning. This thought popped into my mind. Why would these men do something like that? I'm sure all of you have thought about that. After 9/11, I mean, they're calling this India's 9/11. I'm sure each and every one of you thought after 9/11 thought that question. Why would they possibly, what could possibly make them fly those planes into the towers? And the same thing, I think the same question applies here. What could possibly make these men just take machine guns and hand grenades and go into public places and kill these innocent people? What would make them do that? Now, I know there's not a simple quest or answer to that question, and there's a lot of different answers that you could give, but I believe it really boils down to one thing, and that is hate. These men who flew the planes into our towers, these men who went into these places in India, hate all of those people so much that they just want to kill them. One comment that came out during this terrorism in India, they were specifically looking for Americans and British people. They hate us so bad they want to kill us. That hatred is just so overwhelming in their lives. And I might even say that Satan is using hatred in such a big way in their lives that hatred controls their lives. And I think that's just a reality. And I'd like us to take a quick look at what God's Word, one little verse of what God's Word says about hatred. You don't have to look it up. I'm going to have you look up some other verses. But in Proverbs 10, the first part of Proverbs 10, chapter 12, it says this. Hatred stirs up strife. Hatred stirs up strife. Hatred causes nothing but bad things. And when hatred becomes so overwhelming in someone's life that it controls them, they will do almost anything. And that's really the place that these terrorists are at. They are so overwhelmed by hatred that they will do these horrendous things. And I'd like us to look in God's Word at a couple examples of what happened in some people from the Old Testament when hatred got a hold of their lives. And this just backs up what I'm saying here of how what hatred does in our lives when it gets a hold of us. And if you would, in your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. Now, this is a story I'm only going to read one verse, but to give it some context, this story is about Esau and Jacob. And you know how Esau sold his birthright to his brother Jacob, and he resented that. And then later on, when their father Isaac got to be an old man, Isaac was going to bless his oldest son Esau, but Jacob stole that blessing. And this verse says how Esau reacted to Jacob stealing the blessing. So in Genesis chapter 27, verse 41, it says this. Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." So we see here how Esau was filled with hatred. And he said to himself, "Well, my dad's soon going to die. And after he dies, I'm going to get revenge on my brother and I'm going to kill him." So you can see here from God's word what happens, what God's word says happens when hatred fills someone. Another example, just turn back 10 chapters in Genesis to Genesis chapter 37. And I'm going to be reading verse 4. Genesis 37, 4. And to give a little context here, this is about Joseph and his brothers. And as you read the story about Joseph and his brothers, you know that Jacob loved Joseph more than he loved his other sons. And this is his brother's, Joseph's brother's response to their father loving Joseph more than them. In Genesis 37, 4, it says this. Find it here. But when his brothers, talking about Jacob's brother, or Joseph's brothers, but when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. And we know from that story that they eventually took Joseph and sold him into slavery because of that hatred. So here's another example of how hatred can grow up in people and how it will act out and how people will lash out in different ways when they're filled with this hatred. So I'm telling you this morning that when hatred rises up in a person's life, it is a dangerous thing. It is a very dangerous thing. But you know what? The reality is that a person doesn't start his or her life out hating people. It's just not the way it starts. At least in the vast majority of cases, someone doesn't start out in their life, you know, just all of a sudden, boom, have this hate in their life for someone. It starts out different like that. Now, I'm in no way implying when I say someone doesn't start out without hate in their life, I'm in no way implying that we are born without sin. The Bible teaches that we are born into sin. So I'm not in no way implying that we are not born without sin. But the reality is, when a baby's born, they don't hate people. I mean, look at these terrorists. I'm pointing to these terrorists this morning. Do you think that when they were born, they hated Americans and British people? No. I think in many of their cases, they were taught to hate. It's sad to say, but they were taught to hate us. The Arabs, they're taught to hate Jewish people. It's just the way it is. I've heard the story tell that, and this is just an illustration, a subtle way of illustrating how that hate is prevalent in their society. I've heard say that in school, in some Arab schools, children are taught mathematics this way when they're beginning to add and subtract. They say, if you have two Jewish boys and you kill one of them, how many do you have left? You know, that's just an example how they're taught to hate. So you know, hatred just doesn't all of a sudden appear in our lives. But rather, I believe it starts real small, in most cases. There may be some exceptions. But I think in most cases, hatred starts in a little way. And I'd like us to turn to, I believe what illustrates that, I'd like us to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. So would you please turn to Hebrews 12, verse 15. Now, bear with me in this. You're going to have to hang with me. I hope I'm able to make this connection, okay? But bear with me. I believe it's a point I think we really need to look at. Hebrews 12:15 says this. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and through it, many become defiled. And what I really want us to focus on here is what I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And what I want us to focus on here is what the phrase it uses, the root of bitterness. Okay? The root of bitterness. Because the reality is, hate starts with a root of bitterness. But before I get into that root of bitterness, the first part of this verse says, see to it that everybody understands and has the grace of God. Basically, Paul's saying here, make sure everybody gets saved. Make sure everybody gets saved. And the reason he's emphasizing this is because I believe he's saying here, that the only way you can understand what forgiveness is, the only way you can understand what true forgiveness is if you've been forgiven. And that's what the grace of God is. We are forgiven because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. He paid the penalty for our sins. And really, you know what? The only thing that makes us different as Christians from the rest of the world, it's not that we're better people. What makes us different is that we are forgiven. Okay? We're not better people. We're just forgiven people. Now, I know that's a simplified statement. And because we're forgiven, we are then called to live just godly lives. But the only difference between us and the rest of the world is we're forgiven. And so, as believers, we truly understand what forgiveness is. And so that's why he starts out here by saying, make sure everybody gets saved, because then they'll really understand what forgiveness is all about. And then he says, because if you don't know what forgiveness is all about, this root of bitterness will spring up within you. Now, what is this root of bitterness? Well, I really believe this root of bitterness is an event that happens in someone's life. It could be anything. Anything that happens in a person's life where they're hurt. So you have this event happens, and this root of bitterness, they resent it. They take offense against it. They're, you know, offended against somebody. And this root begins to grow. And it grows and grows and grows. And it can become overwhelming in someone's life. And if it becomes overwhelming, all of a sudden you'll see anger, you'll see resentment, you'll see jealousy. It'll spring out in those ways. Now, in most people's life, it doesn't resort to killing people like these terrorists. But it will rear up its head and affect us in some way. In Ephesians 4:31 and 32, it really follows up on that. And in Ephesians 4 and 31 and 32, it says this. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ Jesus hath forgiven you. So you see, Paul's saying here, don't let this bitterness have a part of you, but instead you have to forgive, just like Jesus forgave you. And so we see here, especially in looking at these terrorists, they were overwhelmed with bitterness, with hate, with this rage that was in them. And they acted out by killing innocent people. And you might be saying, well, Dennis, I get that, but so what? What does that have to do with us? I'm not a killer. I'm not going to go out and take my deer rifle and go to the Capital City Mall and go in and start shooting people. Well, I didn't think you would. I'm not in any way implying you're going to do anything harsh and rash like that. But this does apply directly to us. And the way it applies is because I think I'm safe in saying this. Every single one of you sitting here this morning has had an event or events in your past where you have been hurt. I know every single one, that's happened to every single one of us. We have been hurt by someone, a group of people in the past. And when we're faced with that situation, we have one of two ways to respond. The first way of responding is we can choose to forgive. And there are many places in Scripture where God commands us to forgive others. And we just read about one of them there in Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. He says, don't be filled with all these other bad things, but forgive like Jesus forgave you. So we can choose to forgive. Earlier I read the first part of Proverbs 10, chapter 12. And I'd like to read the whole verse this time. I'd like to read it again, but this time I'd like to read the second part of the verse. It says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. When something bad happens to us, we must choose to forgive. Now, the other option is we can let this root of bitterness, we can choose not to forgive. And if we don't forgive, mark these words, this is absolute truth. If we choose not to forgive, there is a root of bitterness that is beginning to grow in your heart. There's a little bit of resentment. There's a little bit of anger. There's a little bit of, you can list a whole list of bad things. It's beginning to grow in your heart if you choose not to forgive those who have hurt you in the past. It's there. And you might say, well, okay, Dennis, so what? So what if it is there? I'm not gonna go out and shoot them. I'm not gonna go out and lash out against them. You know, I treat them with respect, but by the way, they deserve for me to feel the way I do about them. They deserve it the way they treated me. Well, do you know what? If you've been hurt in the past and you're still holding that root of bitterness in your heart, maybe they do deserve to feel for you to feel that way. Maybe you're just to feel the way you feel. But I'm here to tell you in black and white, it's wrong. It's wrong. Think about it this way. Even though you may be just in feeling the way you feel about those who have hurt you in the past, would God be just to hate you for the sins you've committed? The answer is yes. He has the right to strike every one of us down because each and every one of us have sinned against Him. But the good news is He chooses not to. That's why He sent Jesus to the cross, to pay that price. And through the blood of Jesus, by accepting Him as Lord and Savior, we're forgiven. And therefore, because of that, He commands us to forgive. And even though you might say, that root of bitterness that's in me isn't hurting anything, it is. Because look what God's Word says about unforgiveness. He commands us clearly to forgive. And I'd like each of you to turn to 1 John 3:15. 1 John 3:15. God's Word is black and white in regards to forgiveness. Okay? There is no gray area here. Turn to 1 John 3:15. A couple books right in front of Revelation. A few pages in front of Revelation. Now listen to this. This is black and white. This is God's word. He says, all who hate a brother or sister are murderers. And you know that murderers do not have eternal life abiding in them. Whew. Those are pretty strong words. And I'm making the equation this morning, my friends, that if you have a root of bitterness in your heart, that is equivalent to hating people. It might not have blossomed to that, but it's equivalent to that. That's how important it is to have forgiveness in your life. Look up another verse. Turn to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 14 and 15. Again, another example of how in black and white, there's no gray area here, my friends. Black and white got what God's word says about how important it is for us to forgive. Matthew 6, verse 14. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I don't need to explain these verses, friends. You understand them. And I'm just crying out to you this morning. If you have an event in your past that you're still holding that root of bitterness within you, I'm begging this morning. I'm pleading with you. Don't walk out these doors without handing it over to Jesus. It is that important. Because even though you may think, I got it under control, it's never going to bubble up. God knows your heart. He knows if it's there. And you need to deal with it. And the reason this, I believe, still fits in with Advent, or part of the reason, is the first, as Advent is, as was mentioned, points us to Christ. If there's a root of bitterness in your heart, you need to point to Christ. You need to lay this at His feet. You need to bow down before Him and ask Him to give you the grace to get that bitterness out of there. To ask for forgiveness. Think about it this way. If you've ever watched a Roundup commercial, you'll see the guy with the Roundup bottle and go and spray, and then they'll put an illustration up on the screen that Roundup not only kills the leaves, it goes down and kills the root. Well, this morning, if there's a root of bitterness in your heart, you know, throughout your life, maybe it appears in angerness, in jealousy, however it appears. You keep popping off those leaves because it's an ugly thing in your life, but that root's still there. You need the grace of Jesus to spray that root and kill it. That's the only thing that's going to get rid of that root. Jesus already paid the price. Turn it over to Him. So I implore you, don't leave without turning it over to Jesus. And as always, our altar's open if you'd like to do that. Or if you're here this morning and you don't know, if you've never experienced that forgiveness that we have in Christ, you can do that this morning. The altar's open. You can pray at your seat for anything. But talk to a Christian friend. But please, don't walk out the doors without making sure your heart is right this morning before God. And start this Advent season truly pointing your life toward Jesus.